time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning.
Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Was this on my end or you guys' end?
I think it's on my end.
Hello?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. We got everybody on the call this morning?
Yeah,
I think so. Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, Happy New Year, and hope you all made it through okay and unscathed. Okay. Well, look, we've been kind of working through the holiday, so... I like to start the call with anything that's on your mind. We had a pretty heavy-duty agenda last week with the planning process and, learning how to forecast sales, that sort of thing. So why don't you just tell me how all of this has kind of resonated with you thus far and anything else that might be on your mind before we go into today's agenda.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are
We've got a technical
message,
difficulty going on
to
here.
Listen to your message.
Okay.
To erase and re-record.
Do you want to dial back in, or are you okay?
Well, is Audra on?
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied
some
with your
reason,
message,
press we're getting
to
background.
Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3.
I'm not sure why.
Okay.
How about now?
Well,
are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Why don't you dial me back in? Hang up and dial back in.
To erase
okay.
And re-record.
All
right. Press
okay.
3. Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
All righty.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, good.
But I don't think Audra's on.
Okay, so we'll wait for the others to dial
well,
in.
That's the issue is we're trying to conference her in from my line because she had to leave to go out of town, and
okay.
I think that's where the snafu's occurring is on the dial-in
okay.
with her. So let me see if I can get her on.
Okay. I think, Bridget, you might be on, right?
Yes, I'm on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yep.
At RBC Wealth Management, we're proud to be active in our community. It's one of the reasons we support local nonprofits serving youth education.
Okay, how about now?
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay. I think we're good now. Sorry about that.
Oh no problem. So we were about to say, we covered a lot of ground last week with the business plan and strategy document and the forecasting tool. I think Cindy sent you the author of this book in terms of the whole physical, mental aspect, Jim Lehrer. So that's a good thing to read if you can get that. So what I wanted to do is just maybe hear from you all in terms of anything that you're concerned about, interested in, or anything I need to, kind of review before we go into today's agenda. And you can tell me how you feel that it's coming along for you.
I had a question for you, Curtis.
Sure. Okay.
Do you have any for the topic of the month? Do you have like a little, you know, do you pull from something or you just decide what's relevant for that point in time? Because we have like a wealth education site that we can go to that has some topics, but it doesn't have a whole ton or anything. That's probably where I would think we would pull them from. But we were just kind of wondering if you, is that something that you just kind of pick out of your head or?
Yeah, you know, what we do in terms of the topics, and that's a very good question, is, you know, a lot of the topics are generated based on the needs of the client and also your areas of expertise. So if you really think about some of the core topics that need to be discussed, and you, what you do is you jot them down and then you plug and play. Okay. So, for example, there's got to be topic around portfolio structure and rebalancing. Okay. There's got to be an economic overview done periodically. There's got to be a discussion around taxes, okay, and tax minimization strategies is what I call them. There's got to be some kind of quarterly update and review, kind of the state of the economy and where things are headed. And so pretty soon, you know, you get those core topics positioned, and now you look at the financial planning work that you do, and you look at, you know, like the urgent items, and then you look at the items that aren't so urgent but are so relevant, okay? So when does a discussion of long-term care come up? So you don't talk about that every month, but you might want to, you know, have a month where that is brought up. We have had financial advisors have, you know, some extraordinary months when they start engaging clients on that subject. Is there an insurance and annuity review? That should come up. Now, all of these topics are also in the manual in terms of agendas. And what I have to really do is kind of look in the manual and see where some of these sample topics are located, but they are definitely located in the manual. And I'll just kind of you know, go through. There's a kind of a template for your use that has a number of topics. And then what you do is you apply, you know, your own thought expertise in terms of some of the topics. Now, I think, you know, you got to discuss interest rates and the impact that it can have on a client's financial position. Okay, so it may be how they use credit, it may be fixed versus variable mortgages, and the impact that interest rates may have on a number of things. So, you know, that can be a topic. There's always topics around the education of children and grandchildren. So, you know, 529 discussion. There's probably and gifting strategies. So that would be kind of a topic. So each month you are really seeking to cover the client's agenda, okay, and then you're going to have these educational topics that are designed to inform so that the client has a perception of you all as folks that are very knowledgeable in a number of areas. So when it comes time for referrals or comes time for a topic that they hadn't really thought about, but they recalled the fact that you had a discussion, then you're the first person they call. Because what we don't want to have happen is for someone to come in to the back door of a relationship, raise an issue with the client, and get a part of the share of wallet because they brought it up and they didn't think that you had any knowledge of that area. Okay. So, but the primary question was, where's the list? So, what I'll do, you know, it's definitely in the manual in terms of sample 24 months agenda. I just have to exactly go through where the template is, okay? And maybe I'll have it for you before we're done today. Does that help to answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the topics also come as a result of the financial planning work that you do. You know, it's like every time you do a financial plan, there's a range of these issues that come up. And but what happens is often is the most pressing issues and priorities of the client get, you know, kind of implemented first, and the others kind of sometimes fall through the cracks, or you get to them when you get to them. So what I want you to do is to be able to write down those range of topics that don't get addressed on a regular basis. Is, for example, are mortgages a part of what you all do?
They can be. I mean, we have to go through City National, and we have to get co-employment status, and we haven't done that yet. So.
Okay.
But we'd like to do that. I mean, I think it makes sense to have it as an option.
Yeah, so, you know, think about this. If you did $10 million in mortgages on an annual basis, you're adding at 100 basis points, if that's the fee, you're probably adding another $100,000 in business to your book just on refinancing, lines of credit, and mortgages in a interest rate volatile environment. That discussion probably needs to come up. So, you know, that's why we have those topics. But if people don't know that you're in that business, they're probably not going to bring it up. And that's why, you know, what you do is you get this person who might be a specialist in that area and have the team get fully familiar, up to speed, educated. And then you have 1 month where you have that as part of the agenda call for all your clients.
Okay.
Not that they're going to do it, but they might. And, you know, it doesn't take a long time to do $10 million worth of mortgages. Of course, out here where I live, you know, the median house price is $828,000, so, you know, that mortgage business is big business out here. All you got to do is, yeah.
Quick question, if I may, Curtis. On these monthly topics, do you have teams that, like, sit down at the beginning of the year and, you know, I know it's client-specific, but do they add more structure by having, like, this is going to be our topic for January? This is going to be our topic for February, and maybe a backup topic in case that topic isn't relevant to that client. Do they get that structured to where they have it in their quiver each month so they're not just trying to pull in 12 different
exactly
instead of
it's on page 54. I found it.
Oh, you found it. Okay, good.
Yeah, so it's very detailed, which is nice.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, and you know, that's really a good question. And so what they do in Supernova, if you think about the topic, there's kind of two areas of really focus. One is the client's agenda, okay? It's all the things that you are aware of that they need to do. And so your call structure is set up with your follow-up, executive summaries, all designed to meet the needs of that client and provide the solutions. Okay. Then there's these ancillary topics that you rarely get a chance to talk about because you're so busy with what I call not necessarily the crisis part of clients, but the things that they got to get implemented and executed right away tend to be the things that get focused on. And so the things that fall through the cracks are the insurance reviews, you know, thinking about reducing the cost of a mortgage, the refinance, the fact that the mortality tables have changed in their life insurance policies, and they might be able to get more for less. The fact that the kids are starting to move toward college age and they haven't really, you know, thought that much about how they're going to educate them. You know, the elder care of parents. You know, those are the things that really add value to the holistic approach. Now, the reason I bring this up and where it really gets reinforced is Capgemini did a study on what the issues and problems were of the high net worth. And they said that those advisors that really take that holistic approach to the clients are going to have clients for life and get more referrals. So the key then is to figure out how to weave in this educational topic each month. So I want you to look at it as going down a parallel street. First things you're going to do is deal with the agenda items for the client. The second part toward the end of the conversation is the educational piece. Okay, now it's time, you know, for us to bring up something new. So you're imagining yourself like on the board of a nonprofit corporation. You have got into old business, current business, and now it's time for new business. All the committee reports have been done. You know, this is where we are in financial planning. This is where we are in terms of, you know, our portfolio and performance. All of that's done. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't just kind of remind you of a topic to think about, and that is long-term care. And the reason we bring this up is, you know, as our clients start approaching a certain, you know, age limit, they have to think thoughtfully about, you know, if they were to live, you know, for an additional 20 or 30 years, how are they going to take care of themselves without depleting their asset base? So let's get into this discussion for a brief amount of time, and we want to make you aware that we're involved in that, and we're going to follow up, and we're going to send you a brochure on it. So that's kind of how you're going to be handling some of these other educational topics. That makes sense?
It does, but the agenda items, Bridget had brought up a really good question when we had our weekly meeting this last week.
Okay.
We were kind of huddling about all this, and she was wanting to know if there was an agenda template.
Yeah, I think Audra just found it on page 54.
No, that was Bridget.
Oh, Bridget, you found it?
Yeah, well, I found the call topics, but I think, I guess what we were talking about was, and I, it's probably in here. I just haven't gone through this whole thing, but so
okay.
When you go in monthly and you're calling to check up and you've got your agenda,
right.
Is there like a template where he can just write in it into it that's got like the 12 months versus us having to take it out every time or put a new one in? Or is that what you do? Do you just put a new one in? Is that the easiest thing? Or
yeah. If it changes, if you've kind of thought about what your 24-month agenda topics are, then all you do is make a copy of it and you insert it in the client's folder.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you do. Just put it in the folder. And so, one of the things is they get to know that that those are, some agenda topics that can be covered. And you also know that you're keeping track of those discussions. And sometimes, and you've got to do this in concert with the executive summary.
Okay.
All right. What else?
I'm not sure I understand the executive summary and how that ties into the topics.
Okay. So the executive summary, after each call, you are sending out a summary of what was discussed, what is to be implemented, any follow-up by either you or the client, and next steps, or what we're going to talk about on our next appointment. Next steps should have at least one action item for each call. Okay? Now, where you're asking them to do something. So that summary then goes into your folder. The first time you do it is the most challenging time, but once you do it and the next call comes up, your VP of brand is sending out a meeting notification, and it'll have a couple of the agenda items that are going to be talked about during that call. So they have a reminder of the call and a couple of the agenda items that are going to be discussed. And it just goes out in an email. Okay? So that's what you do with your summary. So if you and I had a conversation and I was your advisor and we rebalanced the portfolio, we took 15% off of equities, we moved 10% into fixed income, put 5% in cash, that one action is going to be in the summary. If the topic for the month was to discuss whether or not you had annuities and life insurance, then I was going to also offer a complimentary review, which means you've got to bring the insurance policies into the office, and we're going to have our specialists take a look at that. And I'm going to put that in the agenda, that is an action item that the client needs to pay attention to. And we also discussed your need to implement a 529 educational plan for your daughter. and you'll mention the daughter by name for Mary, and you'll send that out. This is what we talked about. This is what we decided upon. This is what we're going to execute on. And I look forward to our next call on next Thursday, the 11th of January. And that's all you put in there. So there's never any confusion about what was talked about, what was discussed. Okay. That's how you use the executive summary.
Okay.
Now, the executive summary is also a closing tactic for prospects. So remember, we're treating the prospect as if they were a client, and there are going to be some things that you're going to talk to them about. In the same manner, you're going to send out the executive summary in the same way. They're going to look at that and they're going to say, I'm not getting that level of service from my existing advisor. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's how you're going to be using that. Did I send you an article I wrote on how to use the executive summary?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something to just take stock of in the whole process. Does that make it a little clearer for you, Kelly?
Yeah, a lot clearer. Thanks.
Okay. And then that summary goes right into your folder. And so if I was a fly on the wall and I walked into your office, I might see four folders on your credenza for today, four clients, and I might see four prospects. And you already have the agenda from the previous call. You've reviewed your executive summary. You already know what you're going to talk about. It's already done. So you don't have to think about after the first call what you're going to talk about with the client on the next call. It's already done. And you're always going to start the call with their agenda first. Because whatever, you know, we talk about as advisors, if we're not paying attention to what the client wants to talk about, then you know, they're going to think we're not hearing them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like you did the call today.
Yeah. I mean, I start every call off with what's on your mind. You know, what would you like to talk about? Is there anything that we've covered that we need to clarify, that we need to better understand? And to me, what that does, because when I really think about it, when I pick up the phone and I start talking with you, it's really not about me. It's all about you. So that's kind of how that's kind of how we orchestrate and structure it this way in Supernova. So excellent questions. What else?
We're going to be working on what we talked about last week, the vision statement, purpose statement, value proposition, 30-second
okay.
elevator pitch, all that. I mean, that's things that we had to wrap up. Well, we have to wrap them up essentially in the next 3 weeks. So we're going to be working on
that. Okay, good.
We're getting the calendar set. Right now, I've contacted about 20 of our 26 qualified plans and scheduled annual reviews with them in January.
Okay.
I think what our plan is for this year at least, for me to handle that and then transfer it over to Audra.
Mm-hmm.
and that will free up some capacity.
Okay.
But there's, I say but, it's not really a but, it's just I didn't want to give it to her in its current form because we just had new software implemented that she needs to get trained on. There's a host of fiduciary issues, both with the custodian and internally with RBC that need to get addressed.
Okay.
Now, they're mid-year deadlines, but we want to go ahead and knock them out between now and the mid-February.
Right.
And what I'd like to do is just knock all those out. I've got 20 of them scheduled right now. I've got another handful of them to get on the calendar. And then once we do that, then we can systematize it each year. And the ongoing service and maintenance of those accounts, I would say 90% of it will be offloaded to Audra, which will, like I said, free up some capacity in the book.
Okay.
I'm also reaching out to existing clients and moving all of their service calls, red folder calls, if you want to call it that, to Tuesday and Thursday of each week so that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will be free for marketing type stuff.
Okay. Okay.
So that's
good.
Where we are.
Perfect. Perfect. It's good that you're organizing in that kind of way because the client acquisition component of what's going to be done is going to need that capacity. That's why we spend so much time on the segmentation organization, helping you hone in on what to say, how to say it, and who to say it to. So that all is all really crisp and clean. So very good. Very good. Let's, by way of kind of review, let's get into week five, which, you know, I think you're right on point. This whole section is about getting organized. It's about the folder system and the importance of the different folders and how you get these things in sync, you know, with your clients. So the mini me folder, which is it's going to have your team information, your team brochure. There's going to be a notes section. There's going to be a meeting agenda. There's going to be, ideas, referrals, whatever the agenda is going to be. That folder tends to be a little thin, but what you're doing is you're building your ideal day. And remember, we're reversing the kind of the pyramid where the two producers at the top of the food chain are now turned upside down where the VP of brand, your client associate, is now in charge of the practice and the calendar. And everything is scheduled well in advance. So nothing slips through the cracks. And she is going to notify all clients of all appointments. And that should take place by way of reminder. The reminders should go out at least 2 days prior to the appointment. Okay? And that's going to eliminate a lot of the phone tags. All right. So are you pretty straight on that, Bridget? That responsibility?
I know I'll be doing it at some point. I'm just waiting for how we're going to tackle it because I don't have the calendar set yet since Kelly's scheduling. He's doing the scheduling part because he already had them scheduled in his calendar.
Right.
So I think he's going to square that away, and then we're going to input it into your scheduler.
Okay. So the whole idea.
I don't know if we need to use that schedule or not, because he kind of already has it on his Outlook. So I'm not.
Okay. So the key thing is that all of the appointments have to come through you. You have to send out the reminder notices, and you are responsible for making sure that nothing falls through the cracks. So what he could do is really look at an entire month and know already what his appointments are, who he's going to talk to, meetings, events, so on and so forth. Vacation time, free time, everything is on there. Okay? So that becomes really, really important, because when we start beefing up client acquisition, he's not going to have time for that. So it's important that we get that done soon. Okay. Pipeline. Organizing the prospects. One of the things that we don't recommend is that you have more than 90. We just want a maximum number of prospects to be around 90. And you may not be there yet. We don't talk about the acquisition process until we get into week 9. So this is just kind of an advance kind of notice that your pipeline should consist half clients and half prospects. Now, you've already got your absolute minimums put together and your targets. You're building your folders, and you're treating the prospects as if they were a client already, okay? When we talk about prospects in Chapter 9, these are only going to be people that come to you from referral, personal introductions. Then they get placed in the scheduler, and they get the 1242 experience. Prospects get what's called a 90-day free look, where they get treated like clients until they actually become clients. Now, they could become a client in a week, 2 weeks, and some are harder. They are toying with the decision, and it may take you a little bit longer, but nothing falls through the cracks in terms of calls. Okay, and they're qualified based on your absolute minimum and your targets. Okay, centers of influence. They get a folder. But remember, these are people that like you, they trust you, they send you business without you asking. They may be professionals because of their standing or professionalism. You meet with your COIs on a monthly basis. You break bread with them, a coffee or something, and you discuss their agendas that are in their best interest also, and you help them. Okay. Now, you get to this enthusiastically endorsed model. And here's what we'll say about the enthusiastically endorsed model. Is you have clients that are working with other professionals, okay? So, for example, let's say they're working with a CPA. And the CPA says, client says, yeah, I work with Bill. He's been doing my taxes. And then your question to the client is, can you enthusiastically endorse Bill? What makes Bill unique? They say, well, he just does my taxes. I wish he would contact me during the year and talk to me about the things that I should be preparing for before taxes,
But he doesn't do that, and if I had somebody that would do that, that would be terrific. So now you know that you look at your golden Rolodex, and you have some CPAs that work like that. And you say, well, you know, why don't I arrange, with no obligation, a meeting with Sam Smith? And you can have a dialogue with Sam and determine if he would be somebody that you might be comfortable working with. So you're looking for the client to be able to enthusiastically endorse the folks that they're working with. Okay. So the process is you meet and suggest the relationship. You invite them to meet your team. You visit their business. So now this is the client who says, I'm enthusiastically endorsing my attorney. That is a de facto referral methodology when you do that. Okay, so meet and suggest a relationship. Invite them to meet your team, visit their place of business, meet with their support staff, meet their partners, then teach them, educate them on the enthusiastically endorsed model. You know, can you enthusiastically endorse your advisor that you're working with? Have a meeting with the folders. These are joint meetings. Could be client recognition. You're meeting with them on a monthly basis. You want introductions. You're going to educate them on how these introductions are to be made. The best way is in person. Okay? It's not like, hey, here's a business card, call Joe. No, we don't do it that way. The way we do it is they have to personally make the handoff, like in track, pass the baton in person. That's first best. Second best is they're on the phone with the client and you making an arrangement for a meeting. And then the final, which is not the best, is that they are simply saying, hey, here's a name, call Joe. That's unacceptable. They have to make the personal introduction. So over a period of time, you are going to acquire a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals. It might be two or three CPAs, two or three lawyers that work in a number of different areas, a real estate agent, / broker, and they're going to all understand your system, and they're going to make referrals to you, and you're going to refer people to them. But you're going to be in control of the process. Okay, let me stop there for a moment and see if you have grasped that concept.
I think so. The only thing I've got a question about right now is, do you think monthly meetings with these folks, or is that always achievable? Or what do you get? What kind of feedback do you get from other advisors about the frequency of monthly, say, versus every 2 months or something like that?
Well, here's the, here's the thing with the COI. Is I want you to make these meetings kind of fun, where you're going to take the COI to lunch at their favorite spot, okay? And you're gonna get engaged in, you know, decent conversation. But they've got to fully understand your practice. And so
you know, some of these COIs come in with a list of 5 or 6 people that they want you to meet. And so you can try it. Some might be monthly. Some might be every other month. So, but we still stress this monthly call with the COI, who also might be a client.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. How much initially of the time should be dedicated to getting to know their practice versus us going into some spiel about what we do? Because it would seem like you'd want to know more about them than they know about us, but is there
okay.
sort of a, is there a suggested sort of like learn about them first and then get into your stuff, or how do advisors normally tackle that issue of not making it all about them, trying to sell them on what they've got, but
yeah.
about learning about where you can refer clients to them, so to speak.
Exactly. I think, that's a good question. And so, yeah, it's a parallel track. So just kind of visualize this for a moment, that you've got a CPA that is now kind of been referred. He's enthusiastically endorsed by the client. Now, the first meeting can either be at your place or can be at his place. Okay? So what we suggest that you do is come prepared to explain how you work, okay? And let's say you're in the conference room in your office. Bridget is going to explain her role and how she supports the client. Audra is going to explain her role and what she does to support clients on financial planning, plan implementation, and any other delegated responsibilities. You're going to talk about your role, relationships, how you work with people, your service model, so on and so forth. And they're going to get a folder. Now, this is at your place of business. Now, the next meeting is at their place of business. You're going to meet their staff. You're going to be introduced to their partners, okay? And you're going to be in their conference room, and they're going to talk about the nature of their practice, their business, and what they do. And you're going to take notes.
Okay.
So that's how it should work. And you're going to talk about, you're going to say, hey, look, we manage, $200 million in assets. We're continuing to grow our practice. These are the type of clients that we enjoy working with. These are our absolute minimum type relationships. These are what we're targeting. We have agenda topics, and there's definitely an opportunity for us to do something jointly with a number of clients. How does that resonate with you? And, you're having that kind of dialogue with these CPAs and these attorneys. Okay. So you're going to introduce yourself and Supernova, and you're going to give them a COI folder. The second meeting, you're going to introduce the team and the 5-star model. The third meeting, you're going to meet their team, and you might bring your partners to that meeting. And in the fourth meeting, you're going to teach them about the enthusiastically endorsed model, okay? And, you know, they're going to be saying, you know, to their clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And why? So you want to teach them that process. And then in the fifth meeting, you want to have a scheduled meeting with the COI, the agenda, the folder. You're going to send the executive summary out of agreed upon steps. Now, imagine now that you've got these centers of influence between between attorneys, CPAs, real estate folks, or others that are just bringing you individuals in your target market. You're now getting the system working for you so that it's on autopilot. Okay. Are you doing any of this now, Kelly?
Yeah, we are. That structure.
Okay.
We're doing a little, not a lot, but I think the structure makes sense.
Okay.
The only thing I really had a question about was in the fifth meeting where you're meeting mm-hmm. with the COI, are you basically talking to them about are you reinforcing the enthusiastically endorsed process, or what are you really doing in that fifth meeting? Is that really designed to sort of start introducing you to their clients? I'm a little fuzzy on that aspect of things.
Yeah, well, so that fifth meeting is the scheduled meeting with the COI. You've got the agenda straight. You've got the folder, and then you're merely got them into the fold, and you're going to send an executive summary of the agreed upon steps in the working relationship.
Okay.
And
so it's kind of
and
like,
after, yeah, just like the client. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They get treated just like clients. They get scheduled just like your clients and your prospects do. So what happens here is that these important relationships don't fall through the cracks. You're helping them, they're helping you.
Right.
And so they kind of look forward to that. What CPA wouldn't want to continue to grow and build their business with affluent clients? And by the same token, they got to understand how you work so that they can have that extra confidence in recommending you, because you've now educated them on your service model. Okay. So that really, this section five is really all about the utilizing the enthusiastically endorsed model and getting centers of influence, you know, on board, okay, and getting them with their folder. Now, some COIs are clients, some are not, but that's okay. Now, you've got to create your personalized content for the folder system. Do you all have like a brochure with and picture with you all as a team?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, perfect. That goes in there.
Updated, but we have it. Yeah.
Okay, so that goes in the folder. The inverted pyramid concept is a work in progress where Bridget is controlling the calendar. Okay. The third part was the segmentation of the next 20% of the clients and beginning to introduce Supernova to the next 20% of retained clients. The fourth item was determine the number of prospects you'll need to meet your goals. So in other words, we did a preliminary analysis, and the one thing that's outstanding that I have to do is give you the link so that you can go in and play with the web application to determine what your goals are, how many clients are going to be needed in order to get there. Okay. And then the assistants, or assistant is scheduling, your clients, and you've already started that, and building and distributing the folders.
Not okay. Really. We're building them, okay. I think the real sticking point right now, and Bridget mentioned it earlier, is I just need to get the calendar set.
Okay.
We've got the folders in last week, and, she's been reading through the books and stuff, kind of determining what content would go in the folders.
Now, there's templates for that in the manual.
Huh?
There's templates for folder content in the manual.
Right.
Yeah, I found that, so I was looking at that.
Okay.
And then figuring out within that, what we really, really wanted and maybe something we would take.
Yeah, some of it's overkill, but, pick and choose what you want. And remember, this is your first run at that, and over time that might change.
We need a two-hole punch though, because this three-hole punch is not.
No, that won't work.
Three-hole punch is not working because the holes are all in the wrong, and you got to keep adjusting it. Yeah,
that's right.
Two-hole punch.
Right, there you go. Yeah, so. That would really go, this is always a work in progress, but that'll go a long way in helping you, pull the folders together, which was, we're pulling the folders together, we're talking about COIs, we're talking about the enthusiastically endorsed model. And these concepts will continue to be brought up, as we continue our conversations. Okay. Questions? Any more questions on this section?
What's on the agenda for next week?
Okay, so next week we start to move into, Chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the mini-me folders. We talk about scheduling COI meetings. We talk about building this 24-month schedule of educational and marketing topics. We talk about training the clients and holding them accountable. We talk about any scheduling issues, what to do about, clients that are, out of town. And that's really when the core of what you're going to get out of this one is really honing in those topics. And so, you want to know that your 24-month topics are done at that point, something that resonates with you, your client, type of business that you're doing. So that's kind of what we do in number 6. Okay. There in 7, when we talk a little more about the enthusiastically endorsed introductions, there's actually a template in that. That's got a list of all of the service individuals, attorneys, tax, real estate, estate planning, family law, elder care, CPA, physicians, just a number of different doctors that do different things, pediatricians, real estate agents, folks in the automobile industry, personal trainers, veterinarians, computer consultants. In other words, you have this golden Rolodex of all these folks. And so when somebody who might be new to the area comes in and they need to work with somebody like you, but they don't know who to go to for these things, you've got the golden Rolodex already ready for these folks. Okay. Good question. Audra, any questions? Bridget?
No, I think I'm good.
Curtis,
okay.
I have,
sounds good.
Yeah, okay. Curtis, Kelly?
I was a little unclear from the discussion earlier on how we were going to get to discussion topics, because Bridget's right. You know, we have the internal stuff, but I was unclear as to, are you sending us a link to, like, a y'all's information, or do we need to just go off of what's in the book? Training manual, what would be the best?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is to start first with what's in the book. And the book has 24-month call topics, and they should be in the sixth section, but they go all the way from January to December for the first year, January to December for the second year. But, you know, you can improvise on those topics based on some of the work, that specialized work that you're doing. You know, it's got topics in here, for example, I'll just go through the list. Full year outlook.
Page 54, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you just use that, but, you know, you might want to do a, you know, put in your mid-year outlook, year-end outlook, preparing people for tax work toward the end of the year. So it's got all of these ancillary topics, and I would also look to Audra, who does a lot of the financial planning, and just say, Audra, what are some of the 5 or 6 planning topics that seem to come up all the time that we don't really get a chance to fully implement?
Okay. That's a great idea.
You know, because I know, at least my experience in with financial advisors, they get these elaborate plans done, and then we go to the most urgent items, and then the other things don't quite get implemented. So put those in as part of the agenda topic so that you can batch process those topics.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing that's the idea.
Right. I think the only thing, we'd like to do our RMDs a little earlier than October, so, but we can play around with this. This is helpful, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can build off of what's on this page 54. And,
yeah.
I just get busy getting the calendar set so that
mm-hmm.
don't slow down progress.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, look, the hardest thing in the world to do is to let go of the things that you have been controlling.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that one thing is that schedule. But, you know, if you thought about just going to the dentist, do you think that dentist is managing that schedule? No. He's got his staff is managing that schedule, setting up those appointments, making up doing those reminder calls, which are now pretty much automated, but they control that. When you come in, you know, you take that history, they grab it, it goes in that folder goes into his office, he takes a look at it, the hygienist comes in and does her thing, the dentist comes in and does his little check or decides what needs to be done, you leave and press the flesh, and before you walk out of there, they tell you, you when your next appointment's going to be. And so that's how it's got to be with your VP of brand. And that's hard when you've been doing it, you know, all your own. You decide who, when, and where.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, I think, you know, the main thing is just getting it set to where we have something to work with and we're not just looking at a blank, you know, calendar. I don't mind giving up control of that. I'm just a little bit concerned about throwing too much in Bridget's lap. If it was just her working with us, that would be one thing, but she's got a lot on her plate with another advisor who, quite frankly, needs Supernova just as badly as we do, but that's not my problem.
Right.
But I'm a little bit concerned about throwing stuff in her lap and then...
Okay.
But
well,
that being said, I mean, you know, I'm the one that's slowing up the train here, not Bridget, so
right.
I've got to get this done.
Yeah, if you think about maybe just three of the most important things that Bridget can do, it's getting control of the calendar. It's getting a copy of the executive summaries and making sure they get into the folders. And it's making sure that that the meeting notifications go out in a timely manner. And so when we're talking about meeting notices, that ought to be a cut and paste template, okay? A copy and paste template, where you just copy it and just change the date as a reminder.
Okay.
And if she did four or five of those a day, that should take all of about 10 minutes at the most. Okay? So remember, don't try to write a new one every time you're trying to notify the client. Copy and paste that information onto the to the email that you're going to send out.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to make my life that difficult.
There we go.
There's a way that you can automatically send these,
okay.
But I don't know if that's the best way, just because if he changes an appointment, then I don't want to be automatically sending a reminder to somebody that changed their appointment for the wrong time.
Right. I get it.
I think because he already has his calendar set to basically Supernova, it's not a matter of I'll take it over. It's just a matter of he's already got it set. So
yep.
I want it
yep.
when it's done being shifted from its now form to whatever form his schedule is. Because currently I think he's trying to do Tuesday, Thursday. So as soon as he says I'm done moving the appointments around, then I'll take over the calendar completely. I'm okay with that. What I don't want to do is start scheduling people when he doesn't want them scheduled, because I think he has an idea of how many he wants to do and when he wants to see them. So really, they're already on the calendar. It's just a matter of are they set in stone right now or is he moving some of them? And I think he's in the process of moving some of them. So then at that point when we're like, okay, we're done moving them, then I'll take it over. At least I feel like that's the best way to do it so that I'm not interfering in his plan.
Sure. This is what I see happening as we go through this and we start getting into client acquisition. Kelly, I think you're going to end up doubling your production in 18 to 24 months. So the question becomes, what are the ratios per financial advisor to client associates? Are they saying, we're going to put $1.5 million of production on a client associate or $2 million on a client associate to have a one-to-one ratio? Do you know the answer to that question?
I don't know exactly.
I think it's $1.5 million now.
Okay.
But so, that doesn't mean that it would happen. In other words, it's not really something we can control as much as you would want to. It's more of an RBC thing. And I don't think that it would be really difficult for me to come away from the other advisor that I'm currently working for who has 211 households.
Okay.
So
who needs to get down to about 100?
Yeah. So 211 plus Kelly's 100 is currently the situation, which I'm able to manage right now. Sometimes not, but most of the time I am. But it's more of, I don't know even if we got to that point within Kelly's practice, if I would be able to be. So it might just be more of a juggling.
Right. I get it. And I know some of this stuff gets political because, you know, look, I ran offices and branches, and I, you know, those headcount issues that I had to, you know, work with. But the one thing that I did come to understand is that if I put my best people with my best people and I help them run, then, you know, then they were going to be bringing in the revenue that offset that. So as a manager, you know, I had to, you know, that was part of the effort that I had to lead. So, and be an advocate. So I'm not trying to throw the political piece in there at this point, but we'll get into talking about maybe how over time that gets negotiated because, you know, if all of a sudden this business is a double, you know, it's not going to take any more time, quite frankly, because you're going to be so well organized. So, you know, so it's going to work out. You know, we'll work it all out. Okay.
Curtis, this is Audra.
There. Yes, Audra.
You know, we would love, you know, to what Bridget had said, I mean, I'm going to add the other advisor that we share Bridget with.
Yes.
We, you know, Bridget has just done a really wonderful job of balancing the two advisors.
Right.
You know, we very rarely feel like, darn it, we want Bridget and she's over with Ken, and I'd like to think that, you know, vice versa.
Right.
So there's no friction between us and that other advisor. That being said, you know, we really would love to get to a point to where we could have Bridget, and that might be where we need to get to a dollar amount greater than what, you know, what the average of what they, you know, what, you know, $1.5 million is what they're saying.
Right.
You know, there's always the stated rate and the effective rate.
Right.
But any pointers, you having been a branch manager that would help us advocate that case, that would be great, you know, if you could share that with us.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I always loved as a branch manager, there were always some exceptional individuals that really wanted to grow and perform. And they provided evidence of that. Now, the evidence that you all have is, you know, you're going through the Supernova program. You're putting together, you know, a very tight business plan. You're going to have the forecast to show. You're going to demonstrate it further through the whole acquisition strategies that are put in place, call agendas, your game boards, all of this stuff. And quite frankly, when you sit down and share that with a manager, most managers get compensated on meeting 3 to 5 critical few objectives. It's usually increase in revenue, profitability, client acquisition, and I would say some of the softer areas might be the execution of some of the higher margin product areas, okay? Such as mortgages, credit, so on and so forth. And if you can demonstrate the impact that you are going to have on those things and the growth, then this person is thinking, you know, I've got a person in here who's really impacting the office, who's also going to be visibly seen by other advisors who may want to emulate that strategy. This is a horse I want to ride as a manager. And so what I would then do is figure out ways in which I could help that person grow. And I'll tell you one of the things that I often did. I actually hired and recruited team members for those advisors. I said, okay, look, I'm going to hire this individual that you need. You get to interview them, and you get to mentor them and make them a part of your team. And I says, I'm going to invest $100,000 in your practice. So if I brought in somebody and paid them $70,000, they were actually, with comp and benefits, costing me about $100,000. So what ended up happening is I would have literally a 90% success rate on all new hires. And I would hire CPAs, I hired attorneys, I hired former IBMers and really quality individuals that could, you know, supplement the team. So this is an ongoing process. It doesn't just stop at the CA. But by the same token, we're not talking about trying to build some enormous, you know, 12-person staff, because you don't need that unless you decide one at some point, hey, look, we want to get to 5 million. We've knocked out 2, we've knocked out 3, now we want to get to 5. You know, at every stage of the game, it's still the 5-step model. So, but that's how you engage, and you share your business plan and strategy document with the manager. You'll let them know what you're trying to accomplish, and they will love that. I mean, how many people walk into a manager's office kind of unsolicited and say, here's our plan, here's our strategy, this is how we intend to grow? That is so powerful. All right.
I want to add this
okay.
to that and just get your thoughts on it. The other okay. advisor, you know, he has, and this is also to Bridget's credit, to really, you know, kind of toot her horn,
okay.
because she doesn't like to do that for herself.
Good.
He has burned through assistance at an alarming rate, but Bridget has really done a great job of keeping him happy.
Okay.
And working that. And so this is an advisor that, I mean, from the manager's point of view, he's like, shit, man, I don't know that I can find somebody else to make him happy, you know?
Okay.
And so
right.
that's the added wrinkle in all of this.
Yeah, and you know, look, whenever a team member is misaligned with the advisor, that's where the potential for conflict really occurs. It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. The fact that Bridget is going through this program with you, there's no question that she knows exactly the protocol. You know, she can feed in on what you all are trying to do. She doesn't have to guess. She's going to know what the priorities are, what needs to get done in terms of client service and the approach. Where the conflict occurs, in my experience, is many FAs haven't been trained on how to work with a client associate properly. And the other part is that the client associate hasn't been properly trained to work with the financial advisor. So trying to determine what is urgent, what's not urgent, what is important, what's not important, gets cluttered. And that's where the conflict starts to occur. And then there's some subtle areas like getting people to make sure that they respect each other's abilities, you know, and are complementary and reinforcing positive kinds of behaviors and saying a kind word every now and then. You know, all of those kinds of things go a long way in solidifying relationship. And you know, a lot of that, you know, you would think is common sense. I've been married for 38 years, no, almost 39. And I think you kind of learn, you know, what's important, what you really need to bring up. And you know, I always ask myself a question on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this issue for me? And if it doesn't rise to the occasion, then it's probably something that I can overlook.
Amen.
You know? So, you know, all those interpersonal relationships, that's almost a whole other question. But getting everybody on the same page in terms of training is part of it, in my opinion. So, you know, we'll cross some of those bridges if we need to, and I'll be happy to opine some more of my thoughts. You know, in this book I'm writing, I have a whole section in there on managers and what their responsibilities are supposed to be for kind of team development. So, when this comes out, make sure you get your manager a copy, because there's going to be some food for thought in there for him.
Well, thank you.
All right. Great question.
Thank you.
All right. If anything comes up, any questions, feel free to send me an email, make a call. Keep up the great work, and we'll chat with you soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.